Well, good morning, everybody. It's always a wonderful thing to be able to gather with one third of the folks during these three sessions that we have. And I'm glad to be here with you at this time. If you've ever been anywhere where the wind blows a direction constantly, what you will notice is usually the trees will tend to go that prevailing wind direction. You see this a lot on the coast. And it doesn't happen quickly. It takes some time for these trees to lean and be in that position. And so when we think about the world in which we live, and we try to make some sort of application to this whole idea of it takes a lot of time for things to change, we live in a world and in a culture in the United States where things change, and they've been changing a lot during my lifetime, and I suspect other people could say, you know, the same thing. And what we have out there is what we call pop culture. That's what's out there in the world. And, of course, pop stands for popular. And why is it what it is, and why do we do things oftentimes out in our culture? Why do things change? Because things become popular. Now, this is where it gets tough for us all. Because the more the popular moves away from what God wants, the more different we are. And the more we have to have the courage to stand up for who we are. To have what I call a biblical worldview. And I would like for you to just ask yourself right now, do you think you have a biblical worldview? Or are you a little bit more inclined to be influenced by, you know, what our culture's saying? What we're talking about pop culture versus God's culture or God's world, biblically worldwide view. When we're comparing these two, we're talking about reality of God. God is the creator, and so when we see him as the creator and we see this word that he has written and it reveals to us what his world ought to be, then we've got to do what we can to stick with that. We have a moral obligation. He's the God who made the world. And there's a view of God, and there's a view of what it means to be acceptable to God that's depicted and presented to us in Scripture. And so while we see this, and this tends to be, it's not that ideas don't change among us sometimes. They do if we're not so rigid that we can't change on, you know, things that aren't specifically related to truths that are very clear there in Scripture. We are an individual group of people that are going to be different. And it's one of those things that is so significant for us is that we have to understand how it happens. As far as God's reality and people's reality, there's a comparison could be made here with the family, and I just want to show you how it's changed, you know, in my lifetime. As far as people's reality and the family, people choose their own family style. In other words, not anybody's responsibility to convey to anyone, here's how a family ought to look. There is no ideal. It's what you want, and that's all that really matters is what you want. Now that's, you know, as the trees blow and they continue to go and move in a different direction or a direction which the wind takes them, it may take them just about anywhere. And so when you see what you see here, is I think years and years ago, people, even if they didn't believe it, they understood that, you know, we're trying to be people that reflect God in some way, whatever we may think about him. But now we've kind of pushed God very much out of the picture. And so there's really no ideal. I mean, it's just whatever you want. How dare you suggest that a family should be based on a man and a woman joining together to love and to parent children. That's what God reveals in Scripture. And even though maybe really worldly people would come along and have a lot of different ideas, most people used to agree with that. And maybe this is how, as we get older, then we tend to look a little bit out of touch, you know, and particularly to those who are younger. You know, the world's changing, and so we've got to learn to change. And grandpa or uncle or whoever you may be, you're not doing too good in that regard. So I have enough insight to understand, you know, that that's the perception that some people will have. But I understand that just because the world's changing doesn't mean that that's what God's people should be doing. We now have a common view held by many that children should be able to choose their own sexual identity. Set aside science and set aside the things that make up a man and a woman. If a person begins to perceive that they are one way or another, that's what they can be, if that's what they want. And usually in those cases, they have a parent who's pushing them that way. That's just my own commentary on that. But, you know, that's becoming a problem today in terms of people, for instance, who are really trying to promote, you know, the advancement of women, their being able to be involved in society on an equal basis. And Title IX was very much a part of that in promoting, amongst other things, it wasn't just sports, but certainly to help women take steps forward. But then now we have the issue of transgenderism. And so what happens is we have individuals who have decided they want to be something else other than what they are, for whatever reason. I mean, I understand, you know, you can dress however you want, or you can maybe even change yourself however you want. We live in a culture that says that's okay. And in fact, if you say that's not okay, then you're seen as, you know, some sort of a bigot, or you're out of touch. So what are you going to do? Well, what God says is parents raise their child or children to fit God's model of masculinity and femininity. And I think it's certainly represented in Scripture. And so that's what we do. But as we have the problems like in athletics and women's athletics, there are now transgender fellows who want to now compete with other women. And of course, what happens in individual sports, particularly track and field or swimming, is that they are able to dominate. And of course, if you say that's not right, then what? Well, the culture says you're against the transgender folks. But then that's causing some of, I hope anyway, some women to say, now, wait a minute. This is what we fought for here, for us to be able to have our own sports. And now here's some guys who want to step in and win the things that we ought to be winning and getting the scholarships or eliminating us from the scholarships that other people would have or that we should be having. And so there is this realization that when we start just changing with the wind, that it gets really, really inconsistent. And even people who are strong advocates of women's athletics, which is certainly, as I said, Title IX is about almost 50 years old. These are individuals who are starting to say, this isn't fair. These guys who are physically different, to be able to now unseat women who want to compete against other women. That's the way the culture is going. And if you speak out against that, again, you're likely to be told that you're somewhat bigoted. The world says there's really no distinct father or mother role. In fact, I think to many it's an insult to suggest that there's a patriarchy, which is what a father is and his role in the home. In the Bible, the father is designated the head of the family, whether he wants to or not. Whether he wants to be that, whether he has the courage to take that role, that's what he's meant to be. And of course, monogamy is just another option in the world's view of it. People will say, you just can't do that. You can't just be faithful to one person. It's just not natural. Well, I suppose for some people, I mean, we understand we don't have to be faithful to one person, but God commands us to be that way. A husband and wife are meant to be in a lifelong relationship. So what we have here is contrasting. There's a lot of other ways we can look at this. Because I want you and I want me to walk away with an idea that I want to live in a worldview that's established by God, not by the world. And understand that if you're going to allow your worldview to be established by what's out there, the wind keeps blowing and the trees keep getting bent more and more. And sometimes we don't even notice that that's what's happening. So God's reality, for the person who believes in God and believes in Jesus and holds a biblical worldview, that's the ultimate reality. It's absolute because God is the one who created the world. Most cultures want to take over God's role and say, we will now determine it. And when you look at how the world is established and how the world works, I think best is you look at the things and you say, God made the world in all wisdom. He established the family the way the family should look. Yeah, people are going to make different choices about education and careers and all those kinds of things. But there is a way the family is to be. And it's God's world, so he can choose that. His intention for creation remains intact, but it's being challenged every day. And you and I are going to have to decide, where do we stand? Well, we have to have an insight, I guess, into the idea of what truth is. And this particular definition I'm working with this morning is that truth conforms to reality. That's what makes something true. And so how did Jesus establish that he is the truth, the way as we are told? Or how it's through his word that we are sanctified, we are separated from the world. Well, he did miracles to establish, and this is what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. He preached and he taught that this was God, this was the Son of God because of what he did. You saw him do miracles, things only God or people allowed by God to do. He planned, forecast, prophesied that he would die and that he would be resurrected. That's the reality. That's why we believe that. That's the truth. And the evidence establishes that truth. So you follow? It's not just because I think it feels good to believe that Jesus was born and then lived a pretty decent life and was a model for people, and then he died, and that was a sad thing, but that's just the way it happens. No, this was God's plan to establish that he was the truth. And a lot of people don't want to accept that truth. In fact, if you say Jesus is the only way, right there in the minds of many people out there, you are a spiritual bigot. How dare you suggest such narrow thinking? You need to watch the trees just keep blowing, and you need to go with them. How do I know what country is south and or north of the USA? The evidence establishes it, doesn't it? Mexico is south, Canada is north. You can see it in satellite pictures. You can read it in books. You know people who've lived in both places, who've come from and are here, or people from here who have gone to those places and lived. They're real places. It's the truth. Mexico is south and Canada is north. It's not a disputable point. It's the reality. See, truth is reality. Why do I believe in Jesus? Because he is the truth and the truth is real. How do I know the earth is round? Not flat. Well, the photos tell us the truth. In all kinds of other ways we can learn and know and understand that. One of the things that happens when we look at the world as sort of a ever-changing thing is it goes along with this little parable of the lenses. The lenses that we use to see, whether glasses or a little smaller version. For a long time in this parable, nobody was able to see very well. They didn't have glasses. They didn't have lenses. Another way, and then eventually somebody invented some, and people put them on. They go, wow, this is really something. Look at what you could see. This is amazing. We were missing all this. We didn't realize how beautiful our food can be, or how our plants can be so vivid and the flowers just so exciting. But now we can see those things. Well, that's kind of the way we come into the world, isn't it? We come in, we don't really know a whole lot about what's right and wrong and what the world ought to be. And so we can't really see it all that well. But we get these new contact lenses and, man, we can see it really, really well. Well, then I don't really see completely well because these are maybe the old style. And so along comes now something that gives you even a clearer view of what the reality is supposed to be. These are the ultimate. And that's kind of like what happens when a person goes through life defining right and wrong based on what everybody else is saying, or what I've determined because, you know, my parents maybe didn't think a whole lot about and talk to us a whole lot about right and wrong. And so I've kind of come to my own conclusions. And so here I am now, I can really, really see. And so all of a sudden, things that you'd never noticed before, maybe about the universe, become very, very clear. And you begin to see how people live, and you become more aware. And you are able to read God's word, and you become much more insightful in the way it ought to look. But see, some people don't take it to that final set of contact lenses. They're okay with just being able to see better than how they saw before the contact lens was invented. And so they say, well, I know that kind of works for you. I know you say you really understand things a whole lot better. However, I just like it where I am. I mean, I'm pretty happy with the world as it is. My world as it is. Does that make sense? That's living in a world where, you know, we are not going to come to the point of having a biblical worldview. We're not going to get there unless we're actually searching for it. And we want to see better. So what's necessary to believe in order to have a biblical view? Well, I listed some things here. These are all out of Scripture. And they're truths you can find in other passages of Scripture. But I want you to if you were walking into this building and said, hey, I've got a biblical worldview. Well, do you really have one? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that a lot of people who are Christians probably don't have a real biblical worldview. They allow it to be more established by what the blowing winds of pop culture are telling them. Number one, that there is moral truth and it's knowable. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. And that's when Jesus was referred to as the truth and the way. That truth is defined by the Bible. It's revealed to us through God, and we have truth in that Bible, and it's accurate and it's complete in what it teaches. These are things, again, what a person, if you have a biblical worldview and you believe what the Bible says, this is how you see things. That God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator. What's that all about? It's about having a biblical worldview. That's what the Bible says. That Christ lived a sinless life, which made him this, in God's mind, this beautiful sacrifice that was so necessary. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not, I just don't declare it, but I think I'm okay. People who follow God, obey God, and ultimately believers must carry God's message. So I would say, and maybe you might come up with other things, that that's what's necessary. If you have a biblical worldview, these are things that you believe. Now, it comes up against, though, very much the world's views, the views that are out there that are taught usually by most professors in college and universities, certainly ones that have anything to do with philosophy. And this biblical worldview is very much opposed. Now, remember what we've tried to establish. Well, there's this idea of universalism. And universalism contends that everyone goes to heaven, whether they want it or not. Now, you may wish that to be true. I may wish that to be true, just because I want everybody to go to heaven. But a biblical worldview will not lead you into that way of thinking. The universal idea is that it really doesn't matter what you believe. You know, somehow the universalists all have heaven in their picture, but I don't know where they learn about heaven. They don't learn it specifically, it's certainly with people with whom we associate from the Bible. It argues that the truth from the Bible is not unique. It doesn't matter. There's all kinds of beliefs out there. So you have to decide, what's it going to be? If you're going to have a Hindu view of the world, or a Buddhist view of the world, or an atheist view of the world, or you're going to have a biblical view of the world and understand its uniqueness. And of course, because of that, it argues that sharing the message of Jesus is just not essential. Well, why would you even worry about it if everybody's saved and doesn't really matter? You see the narrowness of this, that, you know, God's tree stands firm while pop culture keeps blowing. And you and I have to decide where we are going to stand, particularly when we are going to be kind of going against the grain. What about postmodernism? It's the most dominant view in American culture, and it, you'll see what it really is without me getting into other technical definitions of it. Because for the most part, it just argues against absolutes. Postmodernists who believe the whole idea of seeking out various truth is just kind of a wasted effort, because there are no absolutes. There is no objective truth. There is no universal morality and no right way to God. Now, that's what many people believe in the pop culture world. So where are you going to stand? Where am I going to stand? I mean, these universalism and postmodernism, both dominant views. It's really what is at the bottom of our culture. And it changes all the time. So where are you going to be? Where am I going to be? And they would argue, the postmodernists, it would argue that all things found in a biblical worldview are incorrect. So think about this as we bring this to a close. There are those who are proclaiming that a biblical worldview is at the bottom of all that is evil about our country, including racism, which is for all of us a very sensitive and hot subject right now. And they blame many people who are, quote, European Christians, not seeing the universal nature of Scripture, that what's happened is that we've brought on this evil. And it needs to be destroyed. And there are people who want to destroy it, just like they want to destroy a lot about our country. And I think those kinds of people are taking advantage of a situation where there are some things that need to be resolved racially. And they're just using that, though, to really want to do even more. Not just fix things, they want to tear it all down. And so it's people like you and me, well, we're the problem. See, because we hold this biblical worldview. When we know the Scriptures do not separate the races. We are all together. We are one. Jew, Gentile, black, white, man, woman. That's the biblical worldview. So don't let people shake your faith in that regard. So what's it all about? God wants us to choose. He wants us to choose the reality that is Jesus. So you must choose between God's worldview or biblical worldview and pop culture, which is just whatever is popular. And the reality is even though it's powerful and even though it's potent, pop culture should always finish in second place. So I want you to think about that. We're all concerned about the world as it is right now. And what seems like incredibly dramatic changes, some for the best and some really very, very destructive. And through it all, you and I must understand that I want to go through this world not just following along with whatever the latest thing is, particularly maybe about God's view of family or whatever it may be, about government, whatever it is. I want to be a person who can proudly say, I have a biblical world view, and I want to practice that, and I have the courage to do that. And I'm not some sort of philosophical wimp who doesn't want to really believe much of anything, and is not interested in what a lot of people have to say to him about the biblical worldview. It's an amazing thing what God has done, but it takes amazingly devoted people to stay faithful to it when there is so much force working against it. Thanks for your patience this morning. I really do appreciate it. So when we invite people to come to Jesus, that's not really okay with the postmodernists, and certainly doesn't really matter to a universalist. But it matters to us because it's what a biblical worldview is. If you believe in Jesus, then you're taking the steps toward holding a biblical worldview, because that's the truth about what it means to be saved, is to believe in Jesus. And that's what a Bible worldview teaches. What's it going to be? Is it going to be the culture, the pop culture, or is it going to be a biblical worldview? If you choose God, you will be choosing God's world, and you will be choosing Jesus. We invite you to come if you desire to be baptized this morning as we stand and sing. Larry.